Greetings, welcome to Undefined Depths. This is a podcast intended for mature audiences. Please ensure that you are at least of age before watching and listening to this podcast, in case there are visuals. We are now beginning the next chapter of God's Teeth, Adult Green Campaign, Red Thoughts. And the quote for this summarizing this scenario is, man does not exist prior to language. It is language which teaches the definition of man, not the contrary. By Roland Barthes.
Sitting has spent
Everyone,
the last few years.
Please, if you will,
just
explain how your characters
really.
Are doing.
He has been
nearly 15
helping out his
years
wife with the
after the events of the cornucopia.
With the family business, the bakery that she runs.
Did anyone volunteer?
He has.
Go ahead.
Just been. He's mostly been focusing on raising his daughter well and keeping the family close knit.
Okay. Anyone else?
Sure. So Alex Reyes has been continuing on with his back and forth publishing and writing from here in England. And he's gotten further down in actually getting some own books done and stuff like that. You know, who would have thought he would have gone into a more horror genre of everything? Nothing to do with life experiences. Nothing at all. Past that, not much has changed in terms of family and friends outside of having to find a completely new therapist. And he's kind of put a lot of things in the works for helping others develop in their publishing and everything like that. And kind of tracking other stuff that might have to do with children and how they're staying out of trouble.
Okay. Next.
Bordeaux has dove into work. Back at home, he doesn't go home most nights anymore from the fire department, staying very long. After his divorce, his wife took his house, so he just mostly lives at the fire department nowadays. Stays with friends when he can't stay there. During his time since what happened at the house, he's kept digging, despite everything. He pulls back anytime it feels like he's getting too close to being seen digging, but after what happened that night, he can't stop. He wakes up, goes to his work, checks his phones, and tries to just find more info. That night is in his dreams. And for a long time, it's probably going to be the only thing he sees when he closes his eyes.
Okay. Next.
Rowan has spent the last few years focused mainly on her kids. You know, she's got four of them now. There's Timmy and Abby. And then there's the two she got from the house. They're older now. Almost adults.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca and Stephen.
Okay.
But she's still working for the program. They keep her running town to town, fire to fire. There's always something that needs her attention. someone that needs saving.
Okay. And lastly, Lucy Stone.
Lucy spent the last few years continuing her career, focusing on her family, mostly her son and her mother. And she followed up on the kids that were put into the system, making sure that they were okay and they were not mistreated as much as she could legally look at. She also looked into the group behind the house that they stopped, which ended up with her getting into contact with people outside the program, so that after giving them some information, one morning she woke up with her coffee, opened the news, and saw that that group was being removed, which left her with a smile on her face.
Okay. Okay. At this moment, as the scenario begins to unfold, each of you are informed by multiple unique means that there is a meeting that you must attend in Washington, D.C. this upcoming Thursday. It is Tuesday morning. You do not need to worry about the awkwardness of needing time away from work or coming up with excuses, as the program has arranged for not only your personal travel, but ensured that you would have proper time off for you to attend this meeting. All of you, now being agents of the program, see that, know for a fact that reassignments, adjustments, and more aren't really unusual. And you know that any upcoming instructions will be given to you in person as a means to avoid a paper trail. You are also knowing for a fact that there are no information by the means of communication that you are given on any preparations required. This, of course, means that there's nothing really needing to be anticipated. So it is natural to conclude that this is likely an adjustment in procedure before you head back to your lives and wait for the next call from the program. There is no other information about this imminent meeting. For this small vignette for everyone, we will be starting in order of Discord, starting from bottom, working our way up. So we'll be starting with Samuel Bordeaux. Each of you will be given a small scene as you are going to prepare for the trip on Tuesday and say goodbye to your bonds. So, we will first start with Samuel Bordeaux. Bordeaux, please set the scene on how you are preparing for this unexpected business trip, and how you're explaining it to a bond of yours, if applicable.
Yeah, well, Bordeaux keeps everything he owns anymore in a footlocker down by his bed at the station. And so he'd be down there shifting everything from said footlocker into a suitcase. Nothing. Clothes, gun, and various different things he needs. And then also arranging for a few of his other things to be transported out with him.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, one of the guys at the station would probably come up, just start shooting crap with him, asking him about where he's going, and he gives him a decent enough explanation, just say, hey, it's a business trip, professional.
So, who are you talking to in particular? What's the bond's name?
One of his station buddies by the name of Jackson Elias.
Now, does anyone here want to roleplay his bond? Alright, looks like there's no takers, so I guess I will. Okay. Frankie Barnes, you have now began to assume the temporary role of Jackson Elias. Samuel Bordeaux, can you give a brief description of who he is?
I mean, probably just gonna go, hey, you expecting trouble up in DC?
Bit of a taller guy. He served in the Gulf War with me, and with me. Knew one of the guys. We all went.
Amen to that.
Listed. He's African American.
How you holding up?
And maybe 5'11".
Okay. All right. The scene opens with, I presume, both of you talking and you making your final preparations for the trip.
Man.
Yep.
Besides, it means you actually get a decent night's sleep without a night call coming out.
Check on thing.
You hear anything from her?
Yeah. It's DC. Expect trouble anywhere you go anymore.
Amen. Shit, man, I'm sorry.
Decent enough. Hey, thanks for letting me stay at your place, all right? Hey. Sorry for being so cruel on you boys anymore.
If you need anything, don't be afraid to call, you know? We look after one another. Gives you a pat on the shoulder.
Nah. She just hasn't said anything. I'm lucky I still get to see the kids, but...
I blame you. Hey, weird things happen all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
You take care, man, hey?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He pats your hand. And then closes the thing up, locks it up. Pull the suitcase up. You're in charge till I'm back. Anything happens, yeah, pretty much. It's not supposed to be leaving this time of year, but yeah. Yep. Cheers. And with that, he wheels it out to his little beat up shit box, packs everything up, and starts to head on the drive. Taps, looks at the photo, pulls down his mirror, sunshade mirror, looks at the photo of his kid and then his kids, pulls it up, and just heads to the airport.
We shall now move on to Lucy Stone. Lucy, please describe how you are packing up for the trip, and who are you talking to bond-wise as you're doing this?
She would be at home, preparing her suitcase. Considering her job as a lawyer, it's not that strange for her to suddenly have to travel somewhere. She would be also making sure her son, Jacob, is packing his stuff, since he would be with his father during that time. And they would be expecting her ex-husband to come pick him up very soon. She has a good relationship with her ex-husband. They're much better as a co-parenting couple than an actual couple. So she would remind her son often, be nice to your father, I'm going to be back in a while. Like the usual things she would tell her son when she leaves.
Okay. So please type out the name of the bond and give them a brief description. As you're doing that, if anyone here would like to roleplay as the bond?
You're playing as my teenager son called Jacob.
Sure, I can do that.
She would be coming in the living room where her son is very likely to be playing some video games on her very expensive TV setup. Jacob, I have to leave for a little while for some business-related travels. I expect that you will keep the house clean while I'm gone.
Yeah.
Jacob, I'm talking to you. Please look at me.
Wait. All right. Fine. Hold on. Just. Okay. What's going on? Why do you have a suitcase?
I have to leave for some business travels. I will be away for a while. I don't know how long. I want the house to stay clean. No parties and no girls. Understood?
No parties. No problem.
I can trust you with that, right?
Yeah, you don't know when you're coming back, though?
I don't. So it could be 2 days, it could be 3 weeks, I don't know. I will let you know when I'm coming back, when I'll be on the plane back.
Okay. All right.
I left you some money in an envelope so you can pay for food. And you can always go live with your father if you don't want to stay alone here.
I think I'll he like looks over at the games and stuff. I think I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, I think I'll be perfectly all right.
She walks towards him. She like takes his face and do like the mom kiss on like the forehead. Like
His
I'll see you in a little while, okay?
His suitcase in the bedroom. All right.
Let me know when you land safe, at least.
He is...
I will, don't worry.
And we shall fade away. Frankie Byrne.
He's got an on in his ears.
Please describe how you are heading into town. And who Bond you're talking with.
Be going through a checklist with his wife about all the stuff that he's going to be taking, so... his wife will be the one that he's, you know, talking to, making sure that he's got everything. His daughter would be at home, but she's currently studying at Harvard, thanks to the agency. Daughter's probably early to mid-20s now. She'd be like 20 at the moment, actually. We'll say 20 on the dot. If the math works out. Actually, let's up the age by about 5 more years. So we are looking at Deborah. My wife. Deborah Byrne. She is a little bit younger.
Okay.
She is probably in about her...
Okay. Go ahead and
she's in her 60s.
Type out the name and give a description.
Yes, I said younger and 60s. Because
is this your wife or your
70.
Daughter?
Okay. She has white hair, wears glasses, and she'd be wearing a cardigan, a pair of jeans. It's just she is the more organized of the two. It would be... So, they live in, like, a two-story house, but the front half of the house is where... Or the front half of the ground floor... is where the bakery is that they own.
Who would like to role play
like
as
half
Deborah
storage
Byrne.
Area?
I'll do it.
All right. And the kitchen area.
Please set the scene.
The family lives effectively in an apartment upstairs. There is a garage where that is where the car is currently parked. But he'd be upstairs in the bedroom, and he's constantly going over the list of everything that's in that he needs to pack. Right, 3 sets of underwear, 3 shirts, extra pair of trousers, 3 pairs of socks, yeah, just a, why, you think I should pack an extra pair? Okay, I'll take a cup. Okay, let me see now. Do you think 2 more pairs? Yeah, hopefully the hotel we're being set up in actually has a decent.
You said you didn't know how long you were going to be gone, sweetheart.
I got the toiletries. I got the shaving cream. I got the razor. I got soap even.
Definitely take extra. It never hurts more than you need.
Yeah, I got them here. Shakes the bottle.
Two more pairs should be fine. You can always find somewhere to do laundry.
I knew I forgot something. I forgot the tie. Do I take the blue or do I take the red? Yeah, don't wear red to a funeral.
You got your meds, right?
Puts it all. He's got like the old-fashioned leather briefcase, like something that you'd find at an antique store that you would buy. This is going to be very specific for like a night for like a student high school production of
Take the Blue,
A View from a Bridge or Death of a Salesman. One of those ones. Picks it up. Still has, despite his advanced years, still is able to pick it up with relative ease. Checks. Okay. It starts checking his pockets. There. Cell phone, keys, wallet, cards are in there. Photos are in there. Pulls out the phone. Elizabeth put the address for the hotel into the Google. Got everything packed. And he like leans over and unplugs it and just chucks it on top of the pile of clothes in the suitcase before. Okay, is that everything?
You have your phone charger, right?
Closes it. Looks up at you. Comes over and gives the sentimental, like old person's kiss. Yeah, big old smooch. Puts his hands on either side of your face, and you know he's a bulky guy, so
I think so.
The face kind of like half.
If there's
disappears.
Anything else you need, you should be able to buy it there.
In the massive beefy hands that he has, somehow still able to, you know, do his job. And he just looks at her and goes, "You know I love you, right?" "I'll do my best." He like puts his forehead against hers. "Tell Lizzie that I'm sorry I couldn't see her just before I went. You know how these things are. I kind of sucks. Less and less of us every day, but, you know, we gotta do what we gotta do.
I know, sweetheart. I love you, too. You come back to me safe, you hear?
I'm sorry. I'm gonna make it up to you. I'll make it up to you, I promise. And, Troy's kid, Eddie. He'll be taking up the slack business.
With
the deliveries.
There's a card in your
kid.
Jacket pocket. No opening it till Friday.
Somehow didn't wind up like his old man. I gotta give him credit for that.
Well, next month. It's all right. We both know stuff comes up.
Looks at her, gives her a big old hug. Yeah. Picks up the suitcase. They head out the door. Yeah, calm down. Look, I know the I-1's going to be busy with traffic.
Yes.
It's Boston. What do you expect? Love you too. And what she doesn't notice is the false
bottom. I hear
you
count downstairs, sweetheart. Come on, let's get you out the door. All right. I love you. Let me know when you get there.
That was amazing. I loved it.
It's been cleaned. It gets cleaned twice by accident because he was with the Rangers. He just does it in the garage.
Oh, she knows it's there. She just pretends she doesn't.
This is the only place I can do it where she can't find it. Meanwhile, she's known it for
many
years.
Oh, man.
Sorry,
that seems correct. That seems the exact correct thing. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
She would have cleaned the gun and double checked that he had enough bullets before.
That would be good. Okay. Eros.
He's never cleaned the gun a day in his life, but somehow it's still oiled and nicely done.
They always know.
It's true. It's true. Oh, gods. All right, so Alex is honestly probably coming back to the States. So he's not actively there with anybody. He's probably having a telephone conversation with probably his sister is probably what it's going to be. Let me just... Not his sister, probably... We're going to say one of his best friends, Sophia. So we'll go with that.
Okay. So please type out the name. Okay, great. And my question is, does anyone here want to role play Sophia?
I can, but you'll have to deal with the fact I just put a mint in my mouth.
Yeah. You're chewing gum on the phone. It sounds appropriate. That's fine.
All right.
Chewing gum sound effect. The mic isn't that good. let me try this.
Go ahead and start the conversation you're having on the phone, Alex.
Okay. So Sophia has been his best friend for quite some time. Honestly, you know, once you were able to go out to bars and stuff, that's whenever he met Sophia. That's their whole shtick originally. Now that they're probably in their late 30s, it's a little bit different. She's now a little bit too interested in his dating life and why he hasn't necessarily married anybody at this point.
I have a very important question.
Okay.
Is her character gay or straight? And does she know?
Both. Both.
That's even so they're better.
They're bi.
And she knows.
She does know, yes. Because it's very hard to go out and drink with somebody and then not figure that out relatively quick. However, she also knows that his mother does not know, because that's the kind of conversation he wants to have. So at this point, Alex is going ahead, and he is literally coming back from England anyway, so he's probably like walking up to the airport and everything in order to get onto the plane to go through all of the newfangled TSA stuff since 9/11 has happened, and that's going to be a super fun time for everybody to go through. And it's just him on a cell phone. Yeah, okay, look. I'm leaving shortly. I'm going up to the airport. It's like, I'm here like an hour and a half early. I'll get through it and make the flight. It's fine. Yeah, I went ahead. Everything has been changed over to go to Washington and everything like that direct, rather than anything like that.
But how busy are you gonna be?
I mean, probably won't be able to go out at all. There might be like a day, maybe.
Look, I'll text you all the best place for you to go. You should try to have at least one date when you're there. Like, what's the point of working so hard if you don't party enough? Also, at your age, you should have someone. You deserve it.
I mean, there's plenty of someones. It's fine. I have lots of stories for my new books, everything like that. It'll be fine. And
your book to fuck you. You gotta like let go sometimes. Like, enjoy yourself.
First off, that just shows you how much you haven't done anything with publicists at all. That book fucks me plenty.
It's not the kind of fucking that's enjoyable. That's what I mean.
That's fair. All right, that's fair. Look. So do you think that they're going to let me take the little like keychain bottle opener that I have from here? Or am I going to have to shove that into like some like deep pocket of a thing to where they're not going to find it?
What does it look like?
Big Ben, I guess. Should but it's, fine. I mean, it has like, it has weird edges. Actually, so they might think it's like a knife or something. I don't know.
How tan are you right now?
I mean, I am always tan, but technically... Oh. Okay, yeah, I'll shove that into a really deep pocket. Got it. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
How long before...
Let's hope this time I do not get the random check person. Fun times. All
right. Told you 50 times it's not random. There's no way it's random.
Look, I know that we've been stopped like multiple, like every single flight we've gone and taken together, but that's coincidence? Sure, coincidence. Look, I'll text you whenever I'm there.
Great. Let me know how it goes, and let me know if I was right.
Okay, perfect. I'll let you know. P.S. As an aside, yes, she immediately gets a text. Okay, yes, you were right.
As we are going to Amber, please, can you please describe how your wonderful character Rowan is setting up for the trip, and who are they talking to?
So Rowan is packing her bags. Her twin sister is sitting in the chair by the window talking to her. She's the one who stays with the kids when Rowan's out in the field. So Andy is, she looks exactly like Rowan. They are twins after all. A little less scarred up but still, the kids see her kind of as a second mom. They do live together. And she is very no nonsense, but still loves her sister.
Now, where are you exactly?
We are currently at home just outside of San Francisco, California.
All right. And just to be clear, what is the relation that you have with the Bond?
It's her twin sister.
Twin sister. Okay. And what about your teenage kids, particularly the two that you adopted? Are they in the house?
They are in the house.
Okay. Noted. Who here would like to roleplay the twin sister?
Hi.
So, I guess, Lucy, you want to volunteer?
No, I'll do it.
Go ahead and open the scene, Rowan, whenever you're ready.
So, Rowan is coming out of her closet with a bunch of clothes stacked over her arm. There's a duffel bag on the bed and a hard case. The hard case is already closed and locked. The duffel bag is only half full at the moment. You can see a bottle of shampoo sticking out. So, as usual, Andy, I don't know how long I'm going to be gone. You know how this goes.
Yeah, I do. You're going to let me know when you land?
You know it, and I'll call and say goodnight to the kids every time I can. Hopefully, I'll be able to manage every night. I'll have to keep in mind the time difference since I'll be on the other end of the country, but honestly, that should make it easier.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm sure they'll understand.
Now, Beck has work, but she's also got the Prius, so she shouldn't have any problem getting around. She usually takes Abby to her soccer practice.
Do you have everything you need for your traveling? Do you need anything?
I mean, we do this pretty often. I've got everything I need. Chargers, laptop bags over by the door already. Weapons and body armor loaded in the case. Those will get handed over. I'm traveling official, so it's not a problem to take any of it. Clothes, toiletries, that stuffed animal Abs insists I travel with. Picture you and the kids, so.
It makes her feel better, and I hope you'll stay safe, right?
Safe as I can. You know, it's business. You know how it goes. I mean, you get called out almost as often as I do, so.
Well, still makes me worry, you know?
I know. Mom's on standby on the off chance that you get called out while I'm still in the field, but they're usually pretty good about not doing that. Honestly, yeah, Abby and Steven are the only ones who even need people staying with them anymore.
They grow up fast, huh?
I can't believe Abby's 10 already.
Yeah, doesn't feel like it. Feels like they keep growing faster and faster. Well, I wish you good luck.
Yeah. I'll be back for you, you know it.
At this moment, there's a knock on your room door.
The door is standing open, so she'll turn to look.
It is your son, Steven. He's standing there with a sad expression on his face.
She'll hold her arms open, beckoning him to come forward. Come here, sweetie. I know you hate it when I leave.
Steven walks over wordlessly and gives a deep hug. He only says a few words. Don't forget to duck. As he hugs tighter.
I won't, sweetheart. Your Tita will be here until I get back. I've got my phone if you need me.
He nods and just says, when the moon shines its brightest. He gives one last hug and then walks away.
She'll wait till he's out of the room to let the shiver run through her. Always creeps her out when he does that, but it's better that he's with her specifically. Because they can keep him safe. Right, so, full moon, I keep my head down, got it. Thank you.